You are now listening to Voices of the West Side with your host, John Easter.
And welcome to Voices of the West Side on Indy's Giant 90.9. I'm a very tired John Easter. I have a bone to pick with the game times of the NCAA tournament.
Why are we starting games at 9:45 at night?
Well, I know, but it happens every year. And, you know, like a big dummy, I stay up and watch them all, so I can only blame myself. But, yeah, it was fun. Fun first few games. Fun to see the brackets start to get filled out. I know that there were some bracket busters yesterday in the tournament, but I think my bracket survived day one kind of pretty much okay. But, you know, hey, it's that time of year, and a little sleep deprivation for a few days for some basketball is a good thing. But this morning we've got lots of things on our agenda. You've already heard Bryson Hill. He is with us this morning again. Good morning, Bryson.
Good morning.
And you were the smart one and did not stay up for all the games last night.
Not quite. I still overslept the alarm by like 2 or 3 minutes, but
it happens.
Yeah.
But you're still here. And we'll get to our guest here in just a minute, but we'll get things going with the big board. So on the big board here on my sheet of paper, we actually do have something on the big board, which we'll talk about here in just a minute as well. The Bridgeport Masonic Lodge is having its drive-through fish fry tonight from 5 to 7 over at Morris and Bridgeport Roads. That should be pretty delicious, so check that out. Also, if you just want to go to two different fish fries tonight and get all the fish that you want, the Claremont Lions Club is having a fish fry tonight at the Claremont Lions Club Park at 3201 Tansel Road in Claremont from 5 to 8 p.m., the Grassland Bluegrass Band will be providing live music tonight as well, so that'll be something to check out. IMPD, it's hard to believe we're getting to Easter time now, which, you know, is always one of my favorite times of the year because all the Easter jokes start.
Indeed. Yeah. I ever get a little annoying or too much? Yeah. Or you just kind of used to it as well?
Yeah, I'm used to it. You know, 50 years being named Easter, I'm used to it by now. The IMPD Community Involvement and Outreach is holding an Easter egg hunt, rain or shine, at the JTV Hill Center at 1806 Columbia Avenue. Hunt times are 11 to 11:30 for 2 to 4-year-olds, 11:30 to 12 for 5 to 8-year-olds, 12 to 12:30 for 9 to 11-year-olds, and 12:30 to 1 for 12 to 13-year-olds. There will be hot dogs, a bounce house, face painting, and vendors with free resources. Also, the IMPD mounted officers and horses will be there, so that should be fun. You got to bring your own basket, though. And also, the Grace Point Church is having its Easter egg hunt tomorrow as well. Registration is at 10, and you have to bring your own basket. And anyway, that, ladies and gentlemen, is we did have something actually up on the big board. It is the WBDG 60 Marathon coming your way in April, the 24th and 25th, 8 a.m. to midnight both days. They'll be fun. There'll be prizes. There'll be guests, you know, all that stuff. So check that out next month. And with that, we will turn to our guest this morning. He is the commissioner of the Indiana High School Athletic Association. Joining us on the phone line is Commissioner Paul Neidig. Good morning, Commissioner.
Good morning, John. And how's the things in the studio this morning?
We're doing great in here. Yeah, things are off and running on this Friday morning. I know you have a big weekend around the state with IHSA semi-states coming up in boys basketball. And I'm sure there's always other things going on, too, as the winter sports start to slow down and the spring sports start to kick in.
Yeah, it's always it's just a revolving seasonal change for us, you know, just like the weather. You know, we're certainly prepped for the basketball tournament this weekend. We're going to have some great semi-state matchups, and you know, we're excited about we're excited to get to the weekend and see who makes it through and be being able to represent their team in the state championship game here another week at Gainbridge Fieldhouse. But, you know, we've also, the prep is going on right now for our spring state championships already in our season. I mean, all of our spring sports are now practicing at least. You know, we're Jane Schott and Brian Lewis. I walked in the office yesterday, and they're well on their way to playing a state track meet at North Central High School. And so it's always a revolving seasonal change for us, and we're prepping for the next one before we even get done with the season that we're currently in.
Even though, you know, it's just one of the sports that you guys sponsor, you've got a lot of tennis balls in the air right now with everything that's going on. So as you move into this weekend with the semi-states and boys basketball, we know you saw some great crowds around the state last weekend. You had, you know, full house at Southport. I know across the state in all corners, there were a lot of great regional games as well. So what is it that you think, and this is probably a question you may have answered thousands of times before, but what do you think makes basketball and Hoosier hysteria just so amazing in Indiana as far as the involvement from fans and communities?
Well, you know, it's just kind of become the time-honored tradition in Indiana. You know, it gets cold outside, and people are looking for things to do early on in the wintertime, and so they started watching high school basketball, among other things, obviously. But, you know, it grew to touch a point in the early days that, you know, we built these incredible facilities across the state of Indiana that to accommodate our local communities we're still seeing. And the one thing that that we see constantly is in many communities, the high school is still the center gathering point of the community. And, you know, and it's kind of like, you know, what are we going to do Friday night? Well, we're going to go see all of our friends, and we're going to watch a high school basketball game. And people who maybe went to the school or just part of the community are still showing up in their high schools to see their friends, but also to watch this year's team play high school basketball. And really, it's kind of cool that I always say community still matters. And, you know, it certainly is on display here in Indiana all the time.
Commissioner, we mentioned how you guys go from really each sport. There's not a break here when this stuff ends. You go from football to basketball, evolving now. You know, you go from your fall sports to your winter sports to now your spring sports. How is the development in that and trying to make sure that everyone's staying on task while, you know, just making sure everything's going well in such a busy schedule with all these sports back-to-back and make sure that everything is as good as the last, you know, event or whatever the case may be. How do you balance that with having all these, you know, sports all close together?
Well, yeah, and you can't do it very well unless you hire people that are very talented in what they do. And we're blessed here to have multiple people here in the office that have a wealth of experience as former athletes, and then school administrators, and you know, they're just they've always been high achievers in their roles in their previous jobs around the state of Indiana, and so it because of that, it makes managing all this a really kind of an easier task because everybody's self-driven. They're waiting for the next thing to come up, and they're preparing for it. I mean, and it's you never turn off a sport in this office. It's always something at the forefront of your mind, even if you're not in the middle of the season. And so it's something that, and we meet a lot too. You know, if people wouldn't realize I meet with the assistant commissioners on Monday morning. First thing, we kind of map out our week and see what's going on and cover any specific questions we may have as a group. And then we meet with the larger group of the staff on Wednesday. And so it keeps everything going. And, you know, it's coordination between IHSAA TV and all of our media releases that go out. All that has to be considered when we come to a meeting. And we do that a couple times a week. We're probably in a meeting room with our staff 5 or 6 hours a week just planning what's next.
Commissioner of the IHSAA joins us, Paul Neidig, this morning here on Voices of the West Side. Also, Bryson Hill is here this morning with us. And, Commissioner, you talk about the number of people in the office there and their qualifications and the jobs that they've done for you. You're an example of somebody who has played high school sports. You've coached high school sports. You've been an administrator in high schools, and now you're the commissioner of the IHSAA. What do you think all those experiences that you've had as an athlete and then an educator and an administrator, I think I left out teacher, which you also have been a teacher. All those experiences, what does that bring to the table now that you're the commissioner of the IHSAA?
Well, I tell you, the thing that I'll always think and believe was paramount in development for me to be able to move through the career that I've had was being a high school athlete.
Mm-hmm.
I had a gentleman named Herb McPherson out of Gaston, Indiana, that was my high school basketball coach at North Posey High School years ago. And Coach allowed us to start dreaming about what we could do. You know, you grew up in a community, you had wonderful parents, but, you know, you kind of know what's there. You don't see what else is out there, and you're not challenged. And Coach challenged me. He made me believe that I could be better over time than I thought I could be, but he also held me accountable. He made me work harder than I thought I could work. He held me to the time schedule that I needed to be at different places for certain things. And those things, being a high school athlete under an education-based coach, really were formative in what then turned into that skill set following me through the rest of my life. And I'm so grateful for that. But it's I've been blessed to be able to do several things. And as you said, coached a little bit and taught, and that was certainly paramount. But in the end, when I left Evansville years ago, I was chief of staff and the district athletic director, and each time, you know, you have to develop and learn a new skill set. And I was blessed to be able to have that opportunity through my career to continue to grow. Because the other thing is, it's always a growth mindset. I don't care how old you are, there's something in this job that I learn every day. It's an organization. We don't simply just run sport. We have a business, a not-for-profit that is its sole purpose is to protect the opportunity for students to grow up in an education-based athletic system and promote a fair playing surface to the best of our ability. And so that really it's always been a progress. It continues today, but it really was formative. It started with just being a high school athlete.
He's the commissioner of the IHSAA. Paul Neidig with us this morning on Voices of the West Side. And Commissioner, you kind of addressed it a little bit there and maybe a couple of areas that we've already talked about, but what are some of the misconceptions do you believe that people have about the IHSAA?
Boy, that's a long list. But, we are an independent organization. We are the people who work here. I work for a board of directors made up of school people that are elected to serve this organization by member schools. The other thing that is I think people, we do everything here through either gate ticket sales. We do, and it's running a not-for-profit. We're not here to make money. We're here to make sure that we have a viable athletic association that provides an opportunity for students to grow. And, you know, people think that we are supported, and what we do is because of tax dollars, and we don't receive one single tax dollar to operate this business. But yet we have a system, and Indiana is unique. On an annual basis, we return over $3 million back to our schools to run their athletic department. All the money that's earned at the sectional, boys and girls basketball, and at the football sectional are retained by the schools that play in that sectional. And I think people don't realize that our primary goal is to make sure our schools continue to be viable. A lot of the things that we do with our marketing campaign is to promote going to your high school to watch a high school event. And I think there are some people, because we're also a rule and a governing body that has rules, and we have to enforce those rules, and we don't do it just because that's something that we enjoy doing, but we do it in the with the lens of promoting fair play and providing. We try to keep this in the amateur status that it is, in an ever-evolving world.
Commissioner, is there maybe something that you do that a lot of people don't think would be a part of your role as the commissioner? Is there anything that would catch someone out of shock, being like, whoa, he does that too? Is there anything like that that you do that would take someone by surprise?
Well, I think people forget that we, and I kind of spoke to it a second ago, but I think people forget that, we have employees and we have to run a business here. And it's just the day-to-day thing of running a business, whether it be working with our insurance companies, whether it be making sure that we have health insurance that's affordable for our employees. A big part of what I do really kind of gets removed from the day-to-day operation of sports sometimes. I'm certainly on top of things that are going on. But the biggest part of my role is to run a not-for-profit and have all the business things that come along with that. We have to make payroll on a weekly basis and all those other things that that businesses do. And I don't think people, when you see you out or see me or one of our assistant commissioners out at an event, they think about the athletic side of the association. I don't think a lot of people think about the business side of the association.
Kyle Neddenrip from the Indianapolis Star wrote a very interesting piece about the effect of a lot of different aspects of high school sports on specifically basketball, but I think this applies to many different sports. But this year has been the first year with the new transfer rules, and I know you've had some time now to kind of go through and see how they've worked out. Going forward, is there anything that you think has been positive about the transfer rules, and is there anything that might get tweaked from here on out, or is that something you've even explored yet? Because I know you still have the spring season to go, but certainly you'll probably go back and look at it here at the end of the year. And I know there are so many opinions out there on social media and online about transfers and things like that. But how do you think this first real pass through the first two sports seasons of the year under the new transfer rules has gone?
Well, I think our job is to constantly review our bylaws and our rules to make adjustments when we see appropriate that should be made. And I think back in the last 10 years, I think we've made, I think the number off the top of my head is around 34 different changes to our transfer rules to evolve with the ever-changing times. We understand that, and we're right in the middle of that season right now. So we study data just like other businesses do, and we're looking at the number of transfers we've had. We've looked at, now that we've done this year, do we need to make any tweaks? And there are certainly some things out there that have happened that, we probably need to go back and look at. But one thing that I think people need to understand is we always have to look at it on what's educationally sound. Because the reality of it is the vast majority of our 160,000 student-athletes that play on an annual basis, we're teaching them how to work the rest of their life or continue to be educated. While we're blessed in Indiana to have some professional athletes come through our program, it's not our primary driver. Our primary driver is education of the student-athlete in that short time while they're in high school. And so we're looking at bylaws right now to see what we want to change, and that's always our role. We'll take that at the beginning of May back to our board of directors, and I'm sure there'll be a few adjustments around the transfer rules. But, I think some people thought the transfer rules, and some people may still believe it, that it was going to be the end of high school athletics, the one-time transfer that we put in. And I don't think we've seen that. I think we've seen a few cases where you say, really? One thing that concerns me is you know, an athletic transfer after the season has started, after you've made the commitment to your teammates. We've seen a few transfers after the season, and some of them are legitimate, but some of them you kind of raise an eyebrow to say, really? Is that an educationally sound decision? And so those are the things that we study, and we'll have to make sure that we look at any changes that we need to make, and we're certainly doing that right now.
Commissioner, in the last couple of years, obviously, and the last decade or so, we've really seen, obviously, technology expand a huge bunch. How has that affected Indiana high school sports around the state when it comes to promoting different events like the state games or the semi-state games, or even someone promoting that they're transferring to a new school or whatnot? How has technology kind of advanced as you've been commissioner, and how has that affected around the state, really, all the high school sports?
Well, I think that's something that we're learning about still. You know, with the use of AI and what's going on out there, we've had a lot of things come through this office that weren't necessarily accurate because somebody used AI to either to develop a written document or develop a picture or something, and so it seems like we're busier in some respects because of technology. The things that are coming into the office. But we're also very blessed to have a technology, and it's been able to enhance things that we do. We have a system in place here that's called MyIHSAA that allows our schools to really efficiently operate their athletic departments when it comes to transfers and tournament operations and how we align tournaments, the finances that go with running a tournament. And so that's gone really well. The technology enhancements that have allowed us to grow the IHSAA TV, our network. We're one of just a handful of states that run an independent network that, and you know, what the vast majority of things that we have on our network are still free to watch. We're happy about that. And so technology has had its challenges. It will continue to have its challenges as we learn what this new AI world looks like, but it's also been beneficial to our growth and promotion of high school sports.
Commissioner, you talked a little bit about perhaps tweaking and looking back at bylaws and things. Where do you believe the organization is right now on things like NIL? And obviously, I know you've got a shot clock proposal for basketball coming up in front of the executive committee to consider here coming up. But where do you think the organization is on NIL right now, which is, you know, such a big part of what you hear in the parlance as we talk about high school sports and college sports?
Yeah, you know, I think it's something that we've been, you know, I think for us, NIL, I think NIL in its original form were, you know, students own their name, their likeness, their image. I understood that. I think, you know, but I think what NIL has grown into, especially at the college ranks, really doesn't fit real well in the high school, where actually they're using school money to pay athletes, you know, and so the connotations that come with that. And I, you know, there's also, And truthfully, in Indiana, I've had just a few what I would call legitimate NIL contracts that I've reviewed for families. The vast majority of contacts that I get here in the office about NIL is adults that are, you call it what it is, but in their world, they're trying to help student athletes. And in my view of that, they're trying to make money off student athletes. Mm. And I think we have to be real careful with that. And so I'm not sure, as we continue to grow into the new environment, NIL is an accurate term for what high school should be doing. One of the things that I saw one of my counterparts in another state, they're calling it personal branding activity. And the other thing we say around NIL is you can't sell what you don't own. Students don't own the school uniform, the school name. Do they own their name? If they can go to they can run a basketball camp at a local facility, and their name is on it, and they make a few dollars. We look at that as more an employment and opportunity to make off of their make some dollars off of their name. And so we're looking at some potential bylaw proposals this next year. But I got to tell you, I have many more people reaching out to me saying, don't get involved in that. It's not good for high school sports. And I think the thing we have to be really careful with is continue to separate the have and have not. We have some communities in Indiana that have a lot of businesses in their area or some more wealthy alumni, and can it separate those schools? You know, one of the things that we talked about is if we do get into the NIL side of this, and students are actually paid dollars to play a sport for a school, is there really a need for some schools to have classifications that are differently, especially in metropolitan areas? So all these things are things that we are continuing to study. We truly believe that students own their name. But we also have to develop a system that, again, promotes fair play. You know, I have to tell, I use this, I have to tell a school that's a small rural school in Indiana that you have a fair opportunity to compete for a state championship or even a sectional championship with a small school in an urban area. And those are things that we constantly study. And I think NIL is something that we have to be real careful with, but we also have to understand that the changing landscape.
What, as a bit from a bit of a smaller school myself, I honestly not in the last couple of years because we've really tried to expand, but just looking around, obviously there's all different sizes and you know, the amount of students that go to all of these schools, and it changes all around the state. How do these smaller schools kind of affect what goes around in you know, sports and whatnot? And also, how do you look to try to balance, try to including every school and making sure that everyone has a right opportunity to get their name out there?
Well, I think that's the challenge that we have. And just one number is, I've studied some numbers, and if you're a small school in Marion County or one of the surrounding counties, you have within a 15-mile radius of that school, you have probably in excess of 100,000 students, and that's going down to an elementary-age student, that are available or potentially have an opportunity to attend that school. If I go to a small rural school, and I use Shakamak a lot, Shakamak, they're a 1A school, a small school, but they've only got around 12,000 students in that same number that are available to them to attend that school. And so we have some people that think we need to look at how we classify our schools differently based upon the type of school, the number of available student athletes. But that's to be determined. You know, there, anytime you want to change it, something as significant as our classification, there's a lot of opinions come along with that. So, but we have some schools in the state that think we really need to take a hard look at how we classify schools. And so that's the challenge, and being able to continue to promote a fair playing field. I always say that we have to continue to dream. As long as we can dream about getting better and working with your coach and getting in the gym, and maybe we can win a sectional, maybe we can win a regional. But if we take that away, then I think sports starts to die, and I think we have to be real careful with that.
Commissioner Paul Neidig joining us here on Voices of the West Side. And Commissioner, as the as we said, the winter sports season comes to an end. We know the with the boys basketball tournament kind of coming to its conclusion, and then the spring sports season getting ready to go, and you said that planning is already underway. So we know you're a busy man, and you have lots of things to do. So thank you so much for being our guest here this morning, and we'll let you get moving on to whatever you have to do today, whatever's on your schedule. I always like to ask commissioners, when they're on our programs, how many miles do you put on your car each year?
Yeah, that's a lot. You know, our assistant commissioners, and we probably average around 25 to 30,000 miles a year, just traveling to the state, meeting with schools, and going to contests. And so, but that's that's a labor of love. I mean, our folks are more than happy to do that work.
Well, I know you guys do a fantastic job, and thank you for your honest answers this morning. We appreciate you. And also, I always have to give a shout out to Jason Willie, who does just such a tremendous job up there for you at the IHSA, and Heath Shanahan, who we deal with a lot, and everybody at 360 Group, and everybody with the IHSA. We really appreciate you.
No, thank you for doing what you do. I mean, we promoting high school sports, as you do with your radio your broadcast, is something that makes Indiana special. We're appreciative of that.
All right. Paul Neidig, he's been our guest this morning. Thank you again, Commissioner.
Thank you.
All right. Well, Bryson, a lot there this morning with the Commissioner of the IHSAA.
Indeed, some great information getting out. It's cool to get the other side of the point of view, you know?
Yeah.
So it definitely interesting also being in the hot seat compared to a listener, because, you know, listen to the Commissioner's Corner and stuff. And you're
right.
Like, well, I could ask that question.
Yeah.
Well, no, thanks to you. I have the opportunity to do that right now. Huh. And I just did, but yeah, great conversation.
Well, I always appreciate when we have the Commissioner, and I believe this is maybe his third appearance here on, always answers the question, and really appreciate what Commissioner Neidig does. Yeah, I think every Commissioner has had their stamp. I mean, I've seen several of them now in my time as a radio station manager. Every Commissioner has their different stamp that they put on the organization. I think Commissioner Cox, before Commissioner Neidig, and now Commissioner Neidig, both are accessible. You see them out, and you see them about, and you see them at the events, and you can go up to them and introduce yourself, and they're always willing to come on the show, and certainly appreciate that accessibility from the IHSA and the Commissioner.
Indeed. Hey, that's what makes this state and these the sports around this state so special, no matter where you are. If you're around here, if you're up north, wherever the case may be, it does not matter. The sports around here are special, and we see that the environment really doesn't change no matter where you go. Like the Commissioner said, go from a 1A school, the environment's still rowdy, and everyone's still there having a great time. Or you come here to, you know, a place like BD, or you go over to Warren, or wherever the case may be, and it's still a great time. High school sports are just a blast. I mean, no one does it like we do.
There's still, and I know, you know, talk about NIL and you talk about all the different prep school stuff. Go read it, and, you know, I don't want to promote, but if you are interested in this, and I know later on today you'll have a special guest on Hash Marks and Hardwood named Kyle Nedenrip, but if you go and you read Kyle's article this week, he talked to Jeff Teague, who's the head coach at Pike, and they had an interesting conversation. And there's a lot in that article about things that they feel, well, not they, but Teague specifically feels like maybe need to be addressed in Indiana high school basketball, specifically to keep it healthy and to keep those fans coming out. Because, you know, we addressed a lot of them with the Commissioner this morning. So it's always interesting to see perspectives and hear things. But I think from my perspective, from where I sit, from being a couple of years ago at that state championship game when Ben Davis played Kokomo, and it was undefeated Ben Davis versus Florida Badunga and the Kokomo Wildcats, you know, one of the top players in the country, where you had pretty much, you name a college coach of any regard, was there watching that. You had 17,000 fans at Gainbridge Fieldhouse. You had people from the previous game sticking around because they didn't want to leave. And it was really kind of like a prize fight atmosphere, you know. And it's like, oh, you look around and be like, oh, well, there's Mike Woodson, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, well, there's Bruce Pearl. It's kind of funny because a lot of these people aren't in their same place anymore. Oh, there's John Calipari. You know, you're just looking around, and all of these people are walking in front of you. And I remember in 2017, I'm on press row, and it's like I get this person behind me. They're like, excuse me, and I look and it's Oscar Robertson. It's like, I'm in Oscar Robertson's way. And, you know, these are the things that being a part of Indiana high school sports and just being a part of that atmosphere, that was as great of an atmosphere as I've ever been in for high school sports. Probably not, doesn't top the Hinkle Regional of 95 when I was there and there were, you know, people standing room only to watch Ben Davis and Washington, which is the photo that's on my wall, my office. But it was close. And it was like, this is a high school event. This feels like the NBA finals. And, you know, I think that we're unique in Indiana that we still have those atmospheres, and it happens in all the sports, you know, it happens in every sport that the IHSA, you know, you go to the wrestling finals and it's an atmosphere that you can't replicate. So kudos to the IHSA and what they do.
Absolutely. I was just at, you know, obviously a couple of weeks ago, me and Tyler called the Plainfield game. I mean, really. And I know Kyle and James Boyd were at one of the games at Southport.
Fishers. Yeah,
and they were saying it was an incredible atmosphere.
That
Man.
Was Southport, but then I know James Boyd was out at Fishers for
That was the one. Yeah, Plainfield, man, that was Plainfield versus Pike. That was a rowdy atmosphere. I could not park anywhere. Absolutely no. Right. I had to park on the side of the road. Every three that went up, everyone stands up, kind of makes the oohs, the ahs. Just a loud crowd. Like you said, is this a high school sectional game or is this NBA finals game? A game, you know what I mean?
Well, and then the other part of that is you see these other states, and I'm not, you know, casting shade, but you'll see another state have their state finals and highlights on, and it's like in a small gym somewhere.
Yeah.
And it's like, and every once in a while you get people who complain about having the finals at Gainbridge, but it's like, you go back to that state championship a couple of years ago in 2023, and you tell me that that's not an amazing atmosphere.
I think that what been able to host both of football and basketball at Gainbridge and Lucas Oil Stadium has benefited wonders for not only players, but media and really everyone around the state. Because looking at it from, you know, that perspective, everyone meets up there. It's really a neutral site. And not to mention how great those two stadiums have been for promoting that. Like when you walk into Lucas Oil, you see all the promotion for the state finals and whatever. So
the Pacers and the Colts both in the Fever.
That is jumped in. That's definitely been huge, and also obviously a little biased, but I mean I think those are two of the most underrated stadiums in their respective leagues.
Right.
I mean. Lucas Oil is absolutely beautiful. Great game as well to watch the state finals because I was there 2 years ago when Brownsburg won the state title, obviously back-to-back now, but when they won the state title in 2024, and that was just a great atmosphere. And like I said, the neutral aspect of that is, you sit on the Brownsburg side and you feel like it's really all yours, you know, your team for your team, but then you look across from you on the other side and it's just a sea of
the other color.
Which I can't quite remember who they faced.
Westfield,
it was Westfield. Westfield, so you see this sea of green and whatnot, and it was just a great atmosphere, and what they've been able to do is wonderful.
Well, it sometimes you hear people complain about the inaccessibility. So, you know, like at Southport, when your team wins, you can go out on the floor and you can celebrate with the kids and stuff, which you can't necessarily do at Gainbridge. They're not just going to let you out there on the floor, but there's a trade-off because it really does feel like a big time atmosphere. And so it's interesting, and good luck to all the teams that are left going. I know in our listing area, there are several, one of which is Decatur Central, just to our south. They're still playing, and there's still other teams. Cathedral is still playing. This is what happens when you start, like, listing off teams. You inevitably forget one. Coach Mark James, the former Ben Davis boys basketball coach, with Triton Central. They're still playing in the tournament. Team Ben Davis played earlier this year. Park Heritage still in the tournament. So lots of great teams still out there and playing Indiana High School basketball. So we wish them all luck in the semi-state this weekend as those games get tipped off on Saturday. And, yeah, if you're going to be out and about and having fun this weekend, do it responsibly.
And safely.
And safely. And we want to have everybody back next week because our guest next week is the Chief of Police for Indianapolis Metropolitan Police Department, Tanya Terry, will be our guest. And, in fact, I'm recording that interview today. So,
oh, awesome.
Two shows today. That's what I'm doing. But you'll hear that next week here on Voices of the West Side.
Two shows for both of us today.
Yeah. So that's going to do it for this one. Anything else before we go?
Nah. You know, like you said, if you are the people competing in all the semi-state games or, you know, going to as a fan or whatever, just stay safe and be responsible, be mature. That precedent that we set for Indiana high school sports is second to none. So,
and have fun.
Absolutely.
Because that's what this is about. It may never happen again, you know, for your team. This may be the last time.
Yeah. I was unfortunately never blessed with either Danville making a too deep of a run or unfortunately 2 years here at Ben Davis making too deep of a run. But, yeah, the atmospheres are great here. So
you take it for granted, you know.
Absolutely.
And sometimes that may be the last run or the last deep run for your team. So get out there. People, you know, online, they'll be like, why do we have to go to Washington? Well, because the Hatchet House is cool. That's why. Or why do we have to go to Newcastle? Because once you go in there, your jaw will drop. That's why. I mean, there are some special places in this state. And I've kind of noticed that with Ben Davis making runs here recently. It's like, I never really spent time in Newcastle.
Yeah.
But now I know that there's some good restaurants in Newcastle. There's some good things to do in and around Newcastle. Muncie Fieldhouse is back on the list this year, hosting a semi-state. I mean, there are places in this state that you may have never been, that you may never go again. So get out there and enjoy the state. Get out there and enjoy Indiana high school basketball. And that's my unpaid announcement for this morning.
Yeah. But yeah, like you said, just stay safe and have fun.
All right. Stay tuned a little bit later on here on Friday morning. If you're listening on Sunday, this won't make sense. Bryson Hill will have his show, Hash Marks and Hardwood, with Kyle Nedenrip, the high school sports editor for the Indianapolis Star. So that should be a lot of fun.
Indeed. I guess if you are listening to this on Sunday, you can listen to Hash Marks and Hardwood because it will be. It just not maybe listen to this one first, maybe. But yeah, later on at 9:15, I've Kyle Nedenrip on the phone. So it should be a great time. A little extended conversation. Maybe some stuff talked about here today on Voices of the West Side.
Yep. Well, that's going to do it. We'll see you next week on Voices of the West Side. Be the last show before spring break, too.
Yeah, very true. I unfortunately won't be here next Friday, so I'm going down to Indiana State for a little bit of a athletic day or something like that. I don't know. Oh, administrative day or something like that.
Have fun.
Yeah.
If you see Corey Clark, tell him I said hello.
Will do.
All right. That's going to do it for Voices of the West Side.
To the parents and to the teachers, our students have so much to give. You must teach them to be investors in themselves and their communities. What you give out is what you're going to be given back. And students, remember, your future is in the hands of the ones you hang with. It's okay to be a copycat, just copy the right cat. Don't get caught with the wrong crowd. And as always, the views expressed on Voices of the West Side are not necessarily the views of the MSD of Wayne Township, Ben Davis High School, or WBDG. From all of us here at Voices of the West Side, we'll see you on down the road. Make sure to join us next time. I'm John Easter, over and out. Have a great weekend.